Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light. Your glory,
pour out your power and love.
We'll tell you your dream. We'll tell you your dream.
Holy, 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 high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Oh, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
God bless you in the name of the Lord. I'd say turn around and shake somebody's hand, but you ain't supposed to do that no more. I think Brother Zach is going to tell us about his a dream he had. So come right on up here. I know you got to be instant in season and out of season, buddy. Come on up here and tell him.
All right. So I wasn't really planning on doing this, but a couple nights ago, I had this dream, and I didn't really think of it being spiritual at the time, but, in my dream, I was, at this big table. It was this long table filled with food, and it was really good food, just like, anything you can think of pretty much, like, just like a Thanksgiving dinner, pretty much. Just really good quality food, and I had a plate before me, and I was just putting food on my plate as much as I could possibly eat, and I just started eating and eating, and I was sitting there for what felt like in my dream to be like hours of just eating, and I couldn't get enough. I was just, I looked down at my stomach, and I was like, where's all this food going? I was like, I don't even know where it's going. And I was just like, but I can't stop eating, I was just continuously hungry, and my hunger wasn't going away, and I didn't want to stop eating, and the food was just so good, and I was just sitting there like, I can't stop, like this is just amazing, this is all this food, it's so good, and then my dream stopped, but it was just a dream about me eating. Continuously. Then I told my mom later on, and she was like, wow, that sounds spiritual. And I was like, you know what? It does. I didn't really think about that before. And then I told my dad about it, and he said the same thing. But, anyway. Yeah.
Keep that's eating, it. Buddy.
Yeah, just keep eating.
Keep eating.
Amen. Good to be able to listen to the young man will see dreams, the old man or whatever it is. Yeah. He's a young man, so let's stand to our feet and turn me on. Turn that back off. There we go. All right. Let's go to Galatians 3 by way of announcements. A couple of things. Number one, let's remember our nurses of this church here. They're on the front lines, and also the doctors and the nurses and doctors around the country. They're fighting a battle just like if it was warfare. And it's they're staring death in the face every day. So we want to pray for them, and also pray for the people that are running the country. I mean, the Bible tells us to pray for the people that are in position of power. So let's don't degrade them and downgrade them. And I wish one time Trump would have them idiot reporters stand up there, and before he was standing and let them tell the country how they would want it run.
Yeah.
Right? So the best thing to do is just all stick together. Pray for the people that are trying, because, you know, they're in power. So we need to pray for them. And pray that they'll make the right decision. I was reading in Leviticus, and we've said it many times, but that's the way my prayer ends every day, is, Lord, stay this thing. There was a plague went through the land many times when the people weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and God would send a plague through, or he would send snakes through to bite them, and because of the sin of the people. But then Moses, having grace for the people, he said, Aaron, grab your censer and run through the crowd to stay the plague. But by the time Aaron would get out there, they would be, in one instance, there were 6,000 people killed, and in one instance, there were 20,000 people killed. So there's, what I'm saying is we can, you say, well, your prayer's not doing any good. People are still dying. Well, we're praying that God somewhere down the line is going to stay this thing so that all the numbers will start going down and the people will, they're human beings and they're dying alone. I mean, there's nobody there to be with them, no family member. The poor nurses and doctors are having to stand there while they're taking their last breath. Satan's an evil person. So we need to pray that God will stay this thing. Pray that we'll get back to our normalcy, or somewhat normalcy. Don't know if that's going to ever be the same anymore, but it's like me and Brother Brad Powell was talking last night. This is setting in motion a lot of things that we would have never thought of before. So this is setting in motion some things that can come on later down the line. They're making things that what's going to happen later on down the road that's going to affect us. So we pray now that now, though, Lord, stay those deaths. Don't let the people die. Like they're saying now, 1 in 2 million people in the world may die before this thing's over with. So let's just pray that God will stay that, because they're, like I said, they're human beings. They're your neighbors. They're, you know, we hadn't had any deaths locally. And we thank God for that. There's a few hundred cases in Hall County, but there's zero deaths. 3 in Banks County and different surrounding counties. So we're not being hit hard, but New York, 600 people died yesterday just of the virus. So we want to really pray for those people and keep them in our hearts. It's a solemn time, but like Brother Dale said, it's an exciting time because we've already read about this. We don't need a newspaper. We've already been told what's going to happen. We just hadn't been told, kind of like Abraham with God. God told Abram that he was going to have a promised son, but he really didn't tell him how he was going to do it until he got further into the journey. And then when he become Abraham and become more intimate with God in our walk with God in our new birth, then God started talking intimately to Abraham and said, hey, you're going to have the promised son. You're going to have it in just within the time of life, and you're going to have it with Sarah, not Sarai and not Hagar. So the way, that's what God's been doing now since the prophet left. I believe he's turning all of our attention, Abraham, and telling us exactly how it's going to be done. All right. So let's look in the journey still of a believer in part 6. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody with us. In Galatians 3, verse 16. But let's bow our heads and pray. If you want, next Sunday, if it does come that we're going to do this in the parking lot, if you need your CDs or anything like that, you need to let us know. Richard's run some, but not a lot. But you should be all watching online. And it will be still online if you want to watch it again. But next Sunday, we'll have to really be careful. So we'll be giving more detail of what we need you to do in the coming days. If we do have it in the parking lot, we're going to try to do it where Brother Dale kind of stands up on a platform at the pecan tree, and then you can park around him. And then we're going to try to get FM transmitters to go into your car so that we don't have to blast it all over the place, but it'll go straight into your car and you can listen and keep your social distancing if you need to go to the restroom one at a time. And we're going to find out if y'all really need to go to the bathroom now. Yeah. Brother Dale gets that there and preaches about an hour and a half. Nobody goes to the bathroom. Guess what's going to happen when y'all come back in here? We're going to expect the same thing. So I've always said you can sit for 2 hours and watch a movie and never Never think about going to the bathroom, but once you get in here, about every 5 minutes, you really need to, you have to go to the bathroom. Anyway, God bless you. Let's go to Galatians. But and all of our dates of our spring fling probably is not going to happen. The party for Brother Dale is probably not going to happen at the moment. We'll just postpone it until they begin to release. and our prayers, you know, prayers and doing the right thing. And don't provoke God. Don't provoke God and try to go out. Like I said, we have faith. We have faith. But when you reach your hand into the oven, you have an oven mitt on. Because God gave you sense enough to use it. And we don't go stand out in the middle of the road and say, God's going to take care of me. We'll be doing your funeral probably. But faith to me, faith is right now is kind of is a momentary thing. If there was a child run out in the road, or if you did have somebody fall in a fire, you could reach in and grab them out of the fire and nobody would be hurt. To me, that's faith that what you're doing, that God will protect you. Same way with being on the highway. You know, people get killed on the highway all the time. How many miles have we run for years and never even had an accident? Yep. Never even had anything close to being real severe on the highway. So God's took care of us. And I believe he will continue to take care of us in this journey that we're on. We're getting ready to get to the end of the journey. But we've still got a journey to go to. So let's remember also the little bride around the world that's having to do the same identical thing. And some people are not fortunate enough to have live streaming, so maybe they're streaming in with us or Brother Donnie or some of the ones. So we thank God for the technology to be able to do this. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we're in. And not just a 24-hour day, the day of the Lord. This is the day of the bride, Lord, for us to be made manifest. So I pray, Lord, that our prayers that are going up to you around the world, Lord, that we're all in one heart and one mind now, that we need to get back in service, Lord. I truly, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this. I truly can't see how somebody can sit at home. I just don't see how you can sit at home all the time and not have communion with your brothers and sisters in a house of prayer, in a house of worship, Lord. We're fulfilling the Bible when we come together and congregate, Lord, around you. Lord, I pray that you'd stay this plague, Lord. That those death rates will start going down, Lord. That you'll give man wisdom, as we were watching what Brother Branham said about Jonah Salk and the vaccine that he came up with. That the Lord had a hand in that. Lord, I pray that you have a hand in this one, Lord. That you'll stay this thing, Father. And it'll go away from us, and we will, Lord, be back whole again, Lord. I pray for the country, Lord, that you bless the people around the world. Also, too, Lord, the leaders and everything, they're doing the best they can, Lord. I pray that you would just give them wisdom in how to deal with this, Lord. We pray also for us here as a church family, Lord, the ones that are having to sit at home and listen and watch in, Lord. We pray that you'd give them supernatural strength. Lord, keep this old virus away from us and all the other things that beset the old human body, Lord. We pray that you just keep us safe, Father. But you did give us wisdom to use, Lord, to do the things that we're supposed to do, Lord, and not provoke you, Lord, to anger like they did in the children of Israel did in the wilderness, Lord. I pray that you just be with us now. Be with the nurses and the doctors around the world, Lord. Give them wisdom and give them a supernatural covering, Lord. We know they're touching something that they know is very dangerous and very, very deadly, Lord, and they're jumping right in and not even hesitating. Lord, we pray that you would just be with that group of people, Lord. Bless your little bride around the world, Lord, as we meet in different places and the things that are going on, Lord. May you give us supernatural strength, Father. Just bless the day. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Part 6, Journey of a Believer, Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many. So he's not talking about natural seed of the world. He's talking about as of one seed and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, where is Christ, as Brother Dale saying this morning? Where's Christ? Christ in you is the great mystery. It was Christ in Martin Luther, but Martin Luther couldn't see the revelation of the Son of Man that somebody could look at him and say, you're God in human flesh. That wasn't for that time. That was for this time where we can look at each other and we can look even back in the church ages and see that it was God in human flesh. But they had a revelation that was the Son of God, that God, the Spirit God, come into them and made them Christians. Well, we know that's for a fact now too. But we go to a little bit higher level till we see that the body of Christ, they were the body of Christ. They believed they were a body of Christ. But I think they also knew that they're looking forward to a headstone, to a time when God would take over in a body of believers and make this thing get out, you know, get us out of here. So that's what we're looking for. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So it doesn't matter what comes or what goes.
Right.
The covenant God made is, I will.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this, and you are the bride of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you through this journey. That's what he said to Abram. Because remember, the promise, we'll read it in just a little while, the promise was made under uncircumcision. The promise, when you started in your journey of justification, if you truly were justified by God, not by yourself, then it was God doing the work.
Amen.
Who's going to forgive you of your past sins? No one but God Almighty can forgive you of your past sins.
Right.
Right? So it was God already making the promise when you're under uncircumcision, which meant you were still out into the world doing the things of the world, but God had already made a covenant. Amen? Same way with Abram. For if the inheritance be by the law, it's no more a promise. In other words, do's and don'ts. If you'll do 10 different things, 10 of my things, then that's the promise. That wasn't what the promise he made to Abram. He said, I will, and you're going to do it. All right? For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And according to that, look, in Hebrews 6, verse 13, he says, when God made that promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, swore by himself. He swore by himself. He said, in other words, I will, as we see in Genesis chapter 12, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee. I will show thee the land where you needed to go. Right? Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after that he had patiently endured, in other words, Abram had to become Abraham, so there had to be a journey in there of 25 years to wait for that promise to be made. No, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. You can be seated, and the Lord had his blessing. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. What? Abraham endured, and he got Isaac.
Right.
All right, so let's go really quick. Now, let's read number one, because I want to finally get to Melchizedek, because that's what Brother Dale was talking about. That Abraham finally met. He had heard God. He had seen God do things. He had seen lights. He had seen all these different things, but he's going to finally meet God face to face. So Brother Brown tells us right here, when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes, that's us, will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, what? Son of the faith. Every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. So whatever that journey of Abram to Abraham and meeting God in human flesh, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to pattern yourself right after this. We've tried now for five services to try to get that to you, where we see that Abram's journey is exactly the journey you got to go through. Exactly. The journey that you got to go through. You got to go through justification. You got to go through sanctification, and you got to go through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, some go sooner. Some go later. Some takes a long time. But it doesn't matter. Those who he has justified, he has already glorified, and he did not put a date and a time in between all that.
Right.
Same way with you and I. He didn't do that. So you say, well, sometimes you think maybe God's not on the scene. Listen, before the foundation of the world, he knew how long it would take you to go through each one of these. So he's not going to sit there and go, no, he's right there with you the whole time.
Right.
So he knows what day you're going to receive the new birth. He knows what day you're going to come to this.
Right.
It's not a secret to him.
Right.
And it's really not a secret to us if we'll believe what he's already wrote in the Bible.
Right.
Because it's the promise he gave to Abram. Because I believe Abram being the father of our faith, or Abraham, the journey of Abram to Abraham is, like I said, it's our journey. And if we are what? We're believers. Abram began his journey as a believer. He's right there in the Ur of Chaldees. He's got a real good job. He's making good money. He's right there with his daddy. He's doing good. He probably lives right there next door to his job, and everything's going well. And all of a sudden, Abram walks in and tells Sarai, which is a little contentious, you know. Remember, Sarai means contentious. So he walks in. He says, Sarai, we're leaving. What? We run out of idols? Or what? You know, I'm sure she questioned as a human being. But Abram believed what God said. And like I said before, he could have spoken to thousands of people, but Abram is the only one that God knew would take this right and take that journey all the way to the very end. Exactly right. Amen. Same way with Mary. There was many virgins, probably at that time, millions virgins than there are now. But there was a virgin called Mary that Gabriel came to and said, "How you're highly favored." And she did question, but she come to a point to where God knew no other woman would say this. Be it unto me according to what you said. All right, so you have to come to that, where we have to come to that. I'll read to you in just a little while where Brother Brown tells us to receive the new birth is to have the faith of Abraham, to believe that God can do it.
Exactly.
Amen? Just believe that God can do it. How simple is that? So in chapter 12, we see that's justification, the total plan of redemption starting in Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord said unto Abram, don't put this up, I'm just going to run through it real quick. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Because remember, when you start your journey, you must separate from what you were with.
Right. Yeah.
You must. If you don't separate from what you're with, how in the world is God going to, if he forgives you of all this past, and then you keep walking with the same people for years after? No, you got to come out, because redemption is what? Coming out and going in. The Bible says, come out of her, my people. Well, you can say, well, that means us come out of denominations. No, it means, number one, you got to come out of the world first. You got to get the world out of you first before you can get the denomination out of you and go into Christ. Amen? So now in justification, we see that God says, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now remember, this is Abram. Didn't have no kids. He was 70-something years old when he was right here. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Abram probably, he said, they ain't many people know who I am. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right?
I mean, here he just appears. It's kind of like Elijah. Elijah just appears in the book of Kings. Elijah the Tishbite. Nothing, no. Like Brother Bram said, there's no history in Elijah coming up as a young child. He just says, Elijah's here. And same way with Abram. Abram here in Genesis 12, after the flood, not been talked about, and all of a sudden, Abram's name pops up. Why? Because he did what God said, and God knew he wouldn't just be what we always called a flash in the pan. You know what that means? That means just, you know, you see, like Brother Dale says, a lot of people come in here, and not so much now, but a long time ago, a lot of people would come in and be like a house on a fire on a windy day and burn a candle at both ends. Well, you know, you burn a candle at both ends, all of a sudden you get to the middle and you all run out. So that's the way a lot of people are. Abram was not that way. But now remember, Abram just didn't get up and say, okay, all right, we're going to take Hagar, Sarai, me and you are going to, and I'm going to take, and we're going to go to him. 2 years, we're done. That's not the journey of a Christian. Right? I like what Dave Ramsey said. This is not a microwave religion. This is a crockpot religion. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time to get through this journey. It took Abram 25 years to get the actual promise that God gave him right here in Genesis 12. But he had to have a journey. But you know what a journey is? It's a testimony, because the testimony starts with first four letters, or T-E-S-T. You got to go through a test to have a testimony. Right? Amen? So then you look in Genesis 12, 13, and 14. You can just keep on going through that. That's okay, because I'm not going to read it all. I got to get to this end part. Then you see that Abram brings Lot with him, something God did. But you know what? You're in your journey, and you know what? God knew Abram was going to take Lot.
Sure.
He knows you're going to take a Lot with you.
Right.
You're going to take a Lot with you.
Right.
You're going to carry a Lot. But now, he's got to come to a day, though, somewhere when you continue in your journey, that Lot's got to go somewhere else.
Right.
You got to get rid of a Lot. All right?
Yeah.
So you get rid of a Lot in your journey, and you come up to a place. We see justification coming until chapter 15, and in chapter 13 is when they separate. So you're going to have to separate somewhere in your journey. Like I said, you got to separate from the things you used to do.
Yeah.
All right? Because you're walking, and you're walking with a purpose now that if God's justified you, he's going to glorify you. So you've got what? A pull.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pulling you to that pulling you through that journey. He's pulling you to a place that what? He knows where you're going to get to, but you don't. Same way with Abram. Abram gets up. First thing happens, he gets into a little situation, just like something would happen in your journey. First thing comes up, and here's Abram. There's a famine in the land. And I always told you what a famine would do. A famine makes you make a decision. You got to decide where you're going to go. You can't stay in a famine unless he should have listened to what God told him to do and stay. But in other words, he moved. But now that wouldn't have been Abram's journey. That would have been God's journey.
Right.
So you've got a journey. It's your journey that you take.
Right.
So he knows you're going to go down into Egypt or go back into the world maybe and do some things of the world. But what happened is Abram turns right around and comes right back to Canaan where he had built an altar. And what do you do when you build an altar? You make a commitment. All in our journey, we go and we make a commitment.
Right.
Like when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, what happened? They put those 12 stones, what? To build a memorial that every time they walked by that those 12 stones reminded them of they come out of Egypt and went across the Jordan. And here's those 12 stones. What? It's a reminder. Same thing with you and I. These are little reminders that you look back and I have during this time here of doing this journey that you look back in your journey and please don't ever think that, and we all do as humans, we go, well, we should have changed this or we should have done this different or you can't say that. You can say that humanly, but that wouldn't be your journey. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Now, ladies, a lot of things you did that wasn't of the Lord, but he knew you had to go through them so that you can have a test, so that you can have a testimony. Drugs never was my problem. The only drug I ever got drugged to church.
Yeah.
That was the only drug problem I had. But some others may have had a drug problem. And you know what? That's okay. I said had.
Yeah.
As long as we say had,
right.
It's okay.
Right.
We had these other problems. Because we had Lot.
Right.
We had brought Lot with us. But now that it's come a certain time to where you got to lay that down or God's going to have to get it rid of it for you like Brother Tom Fawbush would always say, God, take the need and the desire because we all have a desire to fill it with something. So we're going to fill it with sin until we become a Christian. Then we're going to start filling it with God. But until we become a Christian, that's the desire is to fill up with something. So you fill up with drugs or alcohol or whatever you want to, put that in the, you leave it blank. You put it in your journey of the things that, because I have things that doesn't bother me that bother Luis.
Right. Right.
Luis has some things that, and don't ever laugh and say, oh, that's just trivial. No, it's something you got to go through.
Right. Right.
Each and every one of us has to go through a journey and you say, well, that's silly. It's not silly when you're going through it.
Right. Right.
Amen? It's not silly. It wasn't silly to Abram when he was going through some of these situations he was going through. No, it was his journey. But what did God say? God said you are going to be the father of the faith of all faithful.
Right.
So all your journey, now he didn't tell him that exactly, but he laid it in the plan.
Yeah, right.
He laid it in that plan before the foundation of the world that we're going to be talking about Abraham. And you know what? Brother John, we're going to get to meet that guy.
Right.
We're going to get to meet that physical man called Abraham.
Right.
And we're not going to go, you big dummy. No, we're going to say thank you for going through this journey and that God thought enough for you to write it in the Bible and put your name in there, and then you are the father of the faithful. We are sons of Abraham. That's what Brother Branham said. Every son of the faith will go through this journey. Every son of Abraham. Now listen, we're a son of God by birth, but we're a son of Abraham by faith, because you got to have faith in that person. You got to have faith in something you can't see. Abram had faith in something he could not see. But he believed so much, as Brother Branham tells us many times, to where he tells Sarah, hey, get the Pampers ready and get the bibs ready and get, and Sarah's going, or Sarai, contentious Sarai, she's going, we ain't been husband and wife in 25 years. What are you talking about? He said, just get it ready.
Right.
Just get it ready, because I'm trusting in what God's told me.
Right.
All right. So in justification, we see that we're justified. Let's go to Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because remember, he's the only just one. You and I are not just at all, but we take his justification. Because being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it starts our journey. Whom God has set forth to a perpetuation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, not ours, for the remission of sins that are past. In other words, remember, we can't get forgiven of something we do 2 weeks from now. That's Catholicism. No. Grace is for what happened yesterday. All right? We're having faith for tomorrow, but we're getting grace for what was yesterday. Because right here, remission of sins that are past, showing that justification gets rid of our past sins. Through the forbearance of God. See that forbearance? What is that? We have forbearance with our children when they can't walk. You don't want to take Elliot at 2 months old and expect her to run a marathon. Why? Because we forbear. We know that in the development of a child, it's going to be 11 months old, 12 months old. She's getting closer. She's over that now. 11 months. Walking a little bit now, see, but now Danny wasn't behind her 2 months going, all right, if you don't walk, no, he has forbearance.
Right.
I don't think he and I are going to do that anyway, but Danny had a little grim look on his face there, like, if I can do that or not. But anyway, that's why they're grandchildren. That's why God don't have grandchildren, because God could do that, but God's not going to do it at 2 months old. What am I saying? In your start of your journey, you're tender. You're a young child. And God's not going to ever hurt your feelings. So he's going to forbear and wait on you to come to a place. And then when you do come to a place, though, he's going to finally look at you at 20 years old, 20, and say, you need to start walking. And then he might give you a little stimulation from the backside to get you going. But he forbears with each of us. Listen, God's never angry at us. He knows what we're going to do.
Exactly.
He knows what we're going to do. You say, well, God was angry with the children of Israel in different places, different ones, but how can God be angry when he knows the end? The reason we're angry with our kids is that we're telling, why, you idiot, what are you doing, what you're doing? It's because we don't know what the end results is going to be. Josh, quit throwing it to the back. There's nobody behind you. But we don't know that journey. But God does. So he forbears. The forbearance of God are what? Grace. There's the grace of God. We don't have a lot, but God's got plenty of it for all of us. All right? To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So all that journey of Abram when he first got started, God's not condemning him. Like the children of Israel, they sinned 10 times, but I was reading the other day in Exodus where they would goof up and have all kind of mistakes, and God would come right back next head of the next chapter. He said, When you get in the promised land, this is what I want you to do. If it'd been us, we'd be going, y'all ain't going. Yeah, for what you just did, y'all ain't going. And God knew there was only two of that group was going to go. But he forbear with them, trying to what? Give them a chance.
Yeah.
But he knew that Joshua and Caleb was the only two that was going to go out of that group. But still, he kept going, when you get in the promised land, this is what I want you to do. And they go, ah, we loathe this bread. We hate this stuff. We have no water to drink. They're always complaining, but God just kept right on going. That's the same way with Abram. God didn't complain to Abram when he tried to give his wife away. But he did come to a place to where he protected his promise. And he'll do the same with you. You'll wonder a lot of things that happen in your early journey in your Christian life. You wonder how these things happen. And like with me and Brother Zach was talking about, you know, God's no's are the best yeses. If you get a no from God, that's the best yes you ever got, because he knows if he allows you to continue on down this direction, he knows how you're going to end up.
Right.
So he says, no, don't go that way. You need to go in another direction.
Right.
Same way with Abram. Abram, this is the way you need to go. You don't need to be going in that direction. You need to go over this way. All right. So let's, the guidance of God is what I want you to understand. The guidance of God. He always, as Sister Gail says, God's arm is long. And it is. He's got a long arm because he's got a lot of grace. And you know, remember, they're nail scarred hands too. That he leads us and guides us by. So even in our justification, we see that Abram was right in the will of God. All the time. Doesn't matter where he went. Because remember, he meets Melchizedek after a certain victory. He meets Melchizedek. But you know, really, I don't think, and I'm saying this for my own, even in my journey, that he met Melchizedek, but I don't think he fully understood who the guy was. Because remember, here Melchizedek, in verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Because you got to remember one thing. He said, blessed Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And Abram gave him tithes. But you got to remember, when we get over here into chapter 18, he addresses that person as my Lord.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You see what I mean about in your journey? Sometimes you may not know it's God dealing with you. You say, well, no, sometimes you may not. But when you come to the new birth and when you have to meet God in human flesh, you know that position. So Abram didn't know in his position of walking in justification. He met God in human flesh, but he didn't realize exactly who he was. Because he didn't say, my Lord. He actually didn't say anything. He just gave him tithes. You understand what I mean? So God's going to meet you. But now I believe, when Abram was changed to Abraham and he met Melchizedek, it was the same guy he met back in justification. He hadn't changed his form. He was still Melchizedek. And I believe Abraham, that's how excited I believe Abraham got when he said, I met you 25 years ago. Same guy's been through this whole journey. I met you 25 years ago. I just didn't realize it. My Lord. Because remember, Brother Brown said that's interpreted Lord God Elohim. That was Almighty God standing there. Well, that was Almighty God back in chapter 14. But same way with me and you. You meet people in your journey and you do things in your journey and you say, well, you know, that may be God or I just got lucky or all these things. And then when you get born again, though, and you look back and you say, that was you, Lord.
Right.
That was you that did that. Amen. It wasn't me. It was you. I'm for one, I don't believe in luck.
Yeah.
I believe in dumb luck because we make it. But I don't believe that you get lucky and become a Christian. I don't believe that. I believe God's got this thing. I know he's got it all settled out where it needs to go. And we just get into the plan. So let's read Ezekiel 11, verse 17. Let's see what this, as we're going through our journey, we look back in Ezekiel. Because look, now remember, Abram didn't have no book. Abram had no Bible. Abram had nothing to go on.
Right.
Except the voice of a man.
Yeah.
But we can look back, and even Ezekiel could look back to Abraham. But we look back to Ezekiel, and we see that Ezekiel is picking up exactly what Abram went through. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from your people. What did he do with Abraham? He gathered him from the people. And assembled you out of the countries that you've been scattered in. In other words, Abram went to all these different countries. You went to all these different things that you did. Just put, you know, you put it in the blank, things you did. But look, and I will give you the land of Israel. So there's a land you come into. What did he tell Abram? He said, wherever you walk, wherever the sole of your feet is, that's what I'm going to give as a possession. All right? And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof. Abram got rid of Lot, got rid of all these different things, had a name change, and all the abominations thereof from thence. What's he doing? During your journey, what's he doing? He's kicking out all the junk. Just like in the statue of perfect man. Even when you get in the statue of perfect man, you got junk that God's going to do the same thing.
Right.
I believe that.
Amen.
I just believe that justification, for those of you that's not part of the church, if you're watching in, justification has three parts.
Right. Yeah.
Sanctification has three parts, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost has three parts. It's the same work. But when you get justified and you get your past sins chopped off, you got to start realizing that God did that work. You can't do it. And that you come to a part of justification that the real you didn't do it. This guy did it, but the guy inside you did not do that. So you come to a higher realization of what God wanted you to do. Because remember, God's forbearance. His forbearance knows that we need it. Because he's not going to dump it all on us at one time. He didn't dump everything on Brother Branham.
No.
He brought him right up through a journey, just like he brought Abram to Abraham. Because man, if he throwed everything on top of you, he knows we're human.
Right.
And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And we'll get to that in a second. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. What we're talking about, a stony heart, God can't use a stony heart because it's set. You know the old saying, set in stone? That's why. It's set in stone. Now, when we come to Revelation, that's set in stone. But you have to start with a fleshly heart where God can use you and mold you as the potter in justification. See, so he doesn't dump it all on you. You got a tender heart when you first start your journey. Then you come a little bit further up to where, you know, God's right there with you. Like, you know, everybody's sheltering little Ellie and sheltering these babies and trying to do what? We're trying to mold them. Trying to get them going in the right direction. Okay, but, you know, Danny's not going to give the car keys to her. Maybe to play with, but not to get in the car and drive the truck. Right? That's right. Not at the moment, but when she gets 45, she'll be able to drive somebody's vehicle. You see what I mean, though? That's what God's doing, the same thing. We have the potential to get the key to drive the car. But God's not going to give us the key when we're in justification. He's not going to give us the key when we're in sanctification. He's going to give us the key when we're at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's going to start revealing things to us that what we're going to do is it's going to build that stature. Not a statue, a stature of a perfect man. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, so let's go to chapter 15. So justification is picking you up and the bottle is still dirty. But God has a purpose. You don't know it yet, but God does.
Right.
So he picks you up out of the world, and you still got mud dripping here, and you definitely got mud inside.
Yeah.
All right? But now God's getting ready. He's going to mold that thing to where he can put clean water in there and drink it. Yeah. But not at that moment of justification. So Abram's not going to have the promised baby, because it's really not promised to Abram. It's promised to Abraham, but Abram doesn't know that yet, right? There's a lot of things. Like I said before, I want us to see everybody that's in the new journey, even all of us that's maybe in a new journey going up the statue of a perfect man. We must realize the same thing. Listen, God's not going to, he's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to, he has to go by your desires.
Right.
Remember what Brother Brown said? Brother Brown said, God, you have a desire. God goes by the desires that you have. All right?
Right.
That's the free will he gives us to do it or not do it.
Right.
All right? So in sanctification, we see, though, that God's going to clean this up and empty it out of the junk, but he's not going to put it in service because it's not ready yet.
Right.
Abram was not ready to have the promised son because he wasn't Abraham. God didn't tell him that Sarah... He didn't tell him. I mean, you know, he comes in with Hagar and he makes another mistake and he goes in the permissive will of God, and sometimes we do the same thing. A lot of times we do the same thing. But in chapter 15, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So God is getting closer. He's using now more. It says, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Right.
And Abram's just like you and I. Even in our journey, we cry for the new birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
You cry, Lord, when you start in this journey, especially being in the, I say the message, say that loosely, but being in the belief that we have that it takes the three processes, you should know that. People out in the world don't have that. They just think, come up, shake a hand. I don't do this anymore. I'm going to start coming to church, but I got all these little things that I'm still doing. I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. How many times have you heard that? You start talking to people and you start talking about hair and, you know, get into the doctrinal issues and they, well, you're not perfect, neither am I, you know. You know what they're saying? They're saying I can go ahead and smoke and do the things I do because I'm not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not really them saying that. That's the person inside because they ain't got the right person inside. The right person inside kicks all that out like the unclean spirit in sanctification. The unclean spirit goes out. Abram says, Lord, what will thou give me seeing I go childless? Now, Abram remembers in his Christian journey that God had promised him ever how many years back that he was going to have a son. And Abram, and like Brother Brown said, I love what Brother Brown said. He said, God does not mind you reminding him of what he said.
Right.
Okay? God don't mind you reminding or quoting scripture back to him.
Right.
So Abram is quoting scripture back to God and says, Lord, I don't have a child. Me and Sarah, have not had kids for ever how many years we've been married. Seeing I go childless, and he keeps going through, and he kind of wants to put a substitute in. And sometimes we do that in our Christian journey. I was thinking about this the other day. Sometimes we want to put a substitute in. We think this is the way it needs to be, and that I'm going to go ahead and if I don't, you know, I think I got the new birth. Like I said, sanctification is really hard. Because Satan comes and brings religious demons to you, and he tries to get you to think, well, I'll just sit in the message church and as long as I come every once in a while, they won't miss me and, but I still secretly do what I've been doing before, right?
Yeah.
Secretly, because you feel ashamed. But then what does God do? He, if you're a real true child of God and you're in that journey, he goes, hey, get back in the promise. This is your promise over here, not that promise that you had out there.
Amen.
All right. So we see in sanctification, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, and Abram said, Lord God. And then verse 4 says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir. God's telling him, don't go that way.
Yeah.
Same way he said, don't go that way, Abram. I got a promise for you. Believe in the promise. You say, well, that looks like Abraham didn't believe. Listen, there's a lot of times in there we look and see it looks like Abram didn't believe. But deep down inside, something was pulling Abram toward that promise. Or he wouldn't be the father of faith, just same way with you and I. Look at all the circumstances that we produce. And we go, well, I don't think this and I don't think that. But then you see that somebody like Brother Zach and me being gone for 20 years. And you see something pulling you. And then you see the end result. That you're still doing stupid stuff. But yet God's still pulling it. And you know why it's God pulling you? Because you know what? Satan will never give you the new birth.
Right.
Satan will never say, you're my child. Cause you're already his right here. But God is saying, come on. You're my child. Come on. Come on. Go, fall down. That's okay. Don't worry, Ellie. You're going to fall down. I'll pick you back up. But come on. Come on. He's pulling you toward him. Same way with Abram. Even unconsciously, something was pulling Abram toward this goal that God had for him because God said, I will.
Right.
And I've attached myself to Abram. Now, not the way even he... Now, when he attaches himself to us, brothers and sisters, we become born again Christians. When he really attaches himself to us, we become born again. He couldn't do that with Abram.
Right.
But he was pulling him to show what? To show us here now in 2020, we're talking about this journey of this man called Abram. And how that you're going, I remember that happened exactly the same thing to me. That exactly happened to me, and this is exactly what happened to me, and I see how God done this and pulled me here, and I wondered why I did that, and there's your example. He gave you 1, 2, 3,000 years ago.
Right.
I mean, you know, this is B.C. 1913, so that's almost 4,000 years. He gave us an example of a man that walked right through the journey like you and I are going through. So he's getting ready to go through sanctification, which is what? Cleaned and set aside for service, not put in service, but he's got to clean you up first. And remember, he told him, he said, look toward the stars and see if you number them. So shall thy seed be. And look, and he believed in the Lord. And he, God, counted it to him, Abram, for righteousness.
Right.
Everybody got that? And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur. What was he doing? He was identifying. Somewhere in your journey, God's going to identify and say, look, you're talking to me. I'm the one that did this. You're talking to me. I'm talking to you. It's a personal thing when you come into, especially in sanctification, when the unclean spirit goes out. Because you know what? God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. But now that he's cleaned you up, like we're going to talk about in a minute, he's going to give you a new spirit to what? He's going to give you a new spirit, not the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you a new spirit so that you can coincide with what he's fixing to bring you. Because what he's bringing you is holy. What went out of you is not.
Yes.
He's not going to take something holy out of you and then put something holy in. He's going to take the unclean spirit out, and then he's going to put his spirit in after he gives you a new spirit. In sanctification, that's what we're going to read right here. Let's go to Hebrews 2, because we'll get to that back in just a second. Hebrews 2, thank you, Brother Anderson. He's doing double duty. I think Brother Richard's back there helping him. Thank you. Brother Joe's at home resting a little bit. Brother Joe's got a lot of hats to fulfill, so we can let him rest a little bit. He's also getting older, so is his wife. So anyway, Hebrews 2, verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. He didn't say that in justification.
No.
Does everybody understand? In justification, we know God's right there. But he can't touch you because he can't dwell in an unclean vessel, but he can guide you. But when you come to sanctification, he's getting like this.
Yeah, right.
See, because then when you get born again, he's like this.
Right.
That's, we see Abram, God's talking to him. God's kind of doing this, but all of a sudden, for both he that sanctifieth and they that sanctified are all of one. Coming closer. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Even Brother Brown tells us that sanctification, you come under a religious order. You start coming to church. You start calling brethren. Brothers, God bless you, brother. You know why? Because you mean it. When I used to come on Easter and Sunday, I didn't mean it when I shook their hand. I never said brother because they weren't my brother. My brothers was the ones I left out there in the world. That brother that helped me do all the things that was wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But when you come in here, he's not ashamed to call you brethren.
Right.
Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church while I sing praises unto thee. Ezekiel 36, verse 25, for I will take you from among the heathen. Now, here's the same thing. He's taking us, he's separating Abram and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. What is your promised land? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we have no land grant.
Right.
Israel does.
Right.
We don't. This whole world is ours. But it's not promised that we get a certain spot. He told Abram, you get a certain spot. Wherever you walk, that's where you're going to get. That's why the new city's going to be over there, not in the United States. Abram didn't walk in the United States. He walked over there in Palestine and all those different places. That's the land grant of the son of Abraham, that they get the land. Now, you and I don't get a land. The land, our promised land, remember, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now remember, what does that give us? It gives us heaven and earth. It gives us the whole universe. It gives us everything. Not just a little spot. Because you know what? It's that same guy that said, let there be, as Brother Dale was talking about this morning. We got to connect back to that.
Amen.
That's what we got to connect back to, is that right there.
Amen.
All right? You love the Lord?
Amen.
Ezekiel 36, verse 25. I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. What? Washing of water by the word. He's getting ready to wash Abram to make him Abraham.
Right.
All right? Everybody got that?
Amen.
All right, he's got to go through some things first. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean.
Lord.
Now, clean, but not in service yet. Cleaned and set aside for service.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Because we got to get this thing filled up with something that wasn't in there before. The Holy Ghost, clean water. He's cleaning you up. He's cleaning you out, but he's got to fill you with something. Because watch. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and all your idols, the things we had idols before, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. We know that. That was in justification. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
Right.
So here's Abram. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but we see that Abram, he's doing sacrifices. He's doing things here in chapter 15. God shows him hell. God shows him death. God shows him all these things. He said, Abram, you ain't got nothing to do with this. You can't clean yourself up. You can wash yourself with water all you want to, regular water, but by the washing of the water of the word, Abram, I'm going to wash you. You're dead. Because you know, you got to die first before God can fill you up with something. You got to die out to yourself in sanctification. And that's where, and you know, we've said for years, that's where you have to be careful because you feel clean. You feel good. You feel religious. Everybody's hugging your neck and say, oh, Brother Zach, good to see you back.
Right. Yeah.
But then 6 months later, all you see is his back.
Yeah.
Going out the door. No, I'm not. You understand, but that did happen. Because you do go through things. You go through ebbs and flows. I did. I thought maybe when I was 14 years old and the church was turned in this way that I'd give my heart to God. I may have had a good case of justification. I don't know. I know for one thing's for sure. It didn't stick. I know it didn't. So I was probably just a little scared or justified myself. Because you know when you come to a place where God leads you to the very end of this thing, like we're talking about, then you know, all of us know, when you get born again, then we know that God justified us and we know when he justified us. Right?
Amen.
I want us to see that, but don't stay in sanctification because sanctification is a real comfortable place to be. The unclean spirit's gone out, everything feels good, and everybody's like, oh, wow, good to see you back, man. I just knew it was God this time. How many times have you seen that? And then they go, come in, leave, come in, leave. If he ever fills you with something, you won't leave. And I don't mean physically leave the building. You won't leave your walk in God. All right? So now let's go to Genesis. We're at Genesis 15, 16. We know what happened. So let's read what Brother Brown says in A Hidden Life in Christ. How I'd like to stop here if it was possible and tell you something on that. You're a little creator yourself. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now that spirit isn't God's spirit. I want to hammer this with this for three services. I want to tell you. He'll give you a new spirit. Now that isn't God's spirit.
Right.
Be careful. That unclean spirit can come back. That's what the Bible says. In Luke, it says the unclean spirit goes out of man, walks in dry places, seeks rest, findeth none, cometh back to his house and bringeth seven demons worse. And the state of that person is worse than when it, wow, Satan gives you a religious spirit. But now that spirit isn't God's spirit, that's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle, and settle down, or he couldn't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then he takes him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can what? Entertain him right. Remember, the Holy Ghost is a timid person, Brother Brown tells us. I love Brother Brown telling us that, because even now we can grieve the Holy Spirit, because we know we do. And we have to cry, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. And then it's a story. It's not the Holy Ghost doesn't physically go out in your trees in the yard and sit on a limb. You know? You don't physically do that.
Right.
But in metaphor, or in telling a story, he withdraws himself so you can call him back. So he's not going to go out, for anybody that says, well, is he going to go out and sit on a limb and go out? No. He's just going to say, hey, that was wrong what you did. And until you get that straightened out, you're not going any further than this right here. Until you get that straightened out, you're not going any further. Abram, if he hadn't got all the stuff straightened out in his life and asked God to forgive him and all these different things, you say he didn't ask God to forgive him. I believe he did, because Abram did some really dumb stuff. All right? But you ask God to forgive you, and then what's he going to do? He's going to come back close and have that communion again. All right? Everybody got that? Because, you know, Brother Brown makes a quote that the Holy Ghost goes out on a limb and sits there and waits on you to call him back. He's not going to withdraw. He is going to withdraw himself, but you'll know it. You will know it. How many times have we done that? Everybody raise their hand at home and everywhere else. We've grieved the Holy Spirit. But he's not going to leave you or forsake you, because you know what? A child of God will feel that. And like Brother Bram said, you'll feel checked. You'll feel checked. And what you'll do is say, forgive me, Lord. And then all of a sudden he just steps right back in and you continue right on in your journey. All right? And look, God's not going to make a big deal out of it. You're his. But he is going to withdraw some things from you that you should have had more access to, because we're still a free moral agent. And I like what Brother Brown said. The Holy Ghost is a timid. He's not somebody like I've always said. You know, if you let me in your house and you had doors locked, I'd be knocking them doors down to see what's behind it. But Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost wouldn't do that. He waits on you to open the door.
Right.
What's happened in Revelation chapter 3? Jesus, the very Creator God, is barred by a door. Why don't he just say, open? All he's got to do is say, open. And the thing swings open. Doesn't matter if it's locked by a million locks. But he's going, can I come in? Because he's very timid. The Holy Ghost is, and for what? God gives us a new spirit to be able to what? Not drive that spirit out. Not drive the Holy Spirit away from us. Because he wants to come and dwell in this vessel, not on, he wants to dwell in. Alright? Let's finish this quote. Let's go to the next one. Number 3, Intervale, 1956. Notice he put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit, or you couldn't even get along with him. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you. So he's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit. Amen? I'll put a new spirit in them and I'll put my spirit in them. He said, after he gives you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit so you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you.
Right.
All right? Now let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Now we talked about this last week. We're Genesis 17, we look at Ezekiel. Now, what's going to happen now? Now, we've come into the new birth. We're coming to where Abram is not going to be Abram the sinner anymore. He's going to be Abraham the Christian. We're going to get a new name. We're going to get a name change. God's going to change our name to Christian. You're potentially a Christian at sanctification, potentially. But you can still fall back and still be like the Bible says, Satan, the unclean spirit, goes out and he comes back to his house. Remember the Bible says? The Bible says he's coming back to... In other words, he owns this house at the moment. If you're born again, he doesn't. You're God's. But before you're born again, even in sanctification, he can bring 7 spirits worse, go back down inside this guy, and he thinks he's got it. But when you keep it cleaned out, remember Abram during sanctification, he kept all the fowls, he kept all the birds from eating his sacrifice. He kept all the fowls away, all them foul spirits.
Yeah.
So you do have, it is a fight. To me in sanctification, it's a real fight.
Yeah.
You're fighting with that old you that's still there. And then that new you that wants to come in, and you're right in that little place in between. That's what it says. But now remember, it's which one you feed is which one is going to win. Amen? But God knows. So in Genesis chapter 17, real quick, he comes back again, and he tells us in Ezekiel 36, uh-oh, stay right there. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, wow, what a big step. The Lord appeared to Abram. Now it had to be in a vision, or the Bible even says here, theophany. So he was not met by somebody in human flesh yet. Okay? Alright? And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He never said anything about being perfect until he comes to this spot. Alright? And I will make my covenant between me and thee, will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham, you know, he falls down on his face, and he said, neither shall thy name be any more Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. He goes all the way back and tells Abram, I started this thing way back yonder. Right? That I have made thee. He didn't just become. No. He come to a revelation of how it's going to be done. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations out of thee, kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, and to be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee. And I will, look at all those I will, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession.
Yeah.
Verse 10, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And we were talking about that last week. The seal of circumcision, cutting off the foreskin. And remember, like I said before, and I don't want to be too graphic, but it's a private affair with God. It's something God does in private.
Yeah.
It's in the private parts of your heart is where he circumcises. But you know what happens?
Right.
You're able to show it. If the world needs to know you're a Christian, you're going to immediately, well, a lot of times immediately, they're going to frame you something. You know, you're going to fit in somewhere.
Right.
You're going to fit somewhere, and they're going to go, that Bob Black, you know, down there at all them, I don't say this to be mean to all the lawyers and everything, but you know, they're probably drinkers and smokers and gamblers, and probably not Christian, not all of them. But here's Bob Black, and Bob Black standing in the middle of all that.
Right.
I think Hall County has been triply blessed to have Brother Luis, Brother Joe,
right,
and Brother Richard all working in the same office.
Yeah.
Mr. Turpin is a Christian, nominal Christian, and even Brother Will Schofield is a nominal Christian. That's why they get a lot done. That's why you say, well, yeah, God's going to bless you. Do you have problems? Yeah. But you might not have as many. Same with Bob, but you know, there's Brother Bob and they hire somebody in and they go, don't curse around him. Same way with me in the post office. You walk in the post office, you go to work, and somebody lets out one of them words that you used to say a long time ago. And then they look and go, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, you know what I always say? I said, don't tell me you're sorry. I can't do anything about it. And then they realize what I'm talking about. You need to tell, you know, like they always say, the man upstairs. You need to tell the man upstairs that you're sorry. Why are you telling me you're sorry?
Right.
But, you know, they do that, though, for honoring you because they know you're different. Because if not, the old you walked in and you blurted out the same thing they did.
Right?
Because right? That was that old nature that we had that just went right with them. Cause they were your brethren at that time, and you know, and there's Brother Bob in that whole, how many is in your complex? Couple hundred?
500
people. In one complex. And there's you and Ben. You and, Yeah. And there's two people in 500, but they know who he is and who they he stands for. Why? Because he had a private ceremony with God and got the new birth, and God cut the foreskin off in a private moment, right? Brother Bram said it's an individual affair with God, right? Private moment with God, but as Bob walks through the world, he walks a little different because he's been circumcised. Israel, Jacob, when he was turned to Israel, remember, slapped him on the thigh. Then afterwards, everybody knew, even if they didn't, they said, Jacob, my name's Israel. He said, well, Jacob, why you walk like that? He said, I met an angel. I met God. I wrestled with God. He said, well, you look pretty bad. He said, no, he told me I'd be this way for the rest of my life. But he said, everywhere I go, they know by the way I walk. Amen. By the way I walk in my journey, they know that now I'm the limping prince because I have been somewhere with God. Same way with now Abram is going to be Abraham, and Abraham is going to get serious about this.
Right.
You and I, the new birth is serious.
Glory.
It's serious business. It was serious business when God said, Abram, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, but there's something got to go with it. Now you got to show me, Abraham, that you got faith. You go circumcise yourself and everybody in your household has got to be circumcised. And then that one thing come all the way down even into Jesus' time, because that's how they separated from the Gentiles and the Jews. You could prove it. Because they all kind of looked the same. The Iranians, Iraqis, and all the different ones, they dressed pretty much the same. But when they took them into the temple and showed them the private thing that God had done for them, that was their what? That was their covenant. We're circumcised, you're not. And you know what? God honored that for a certain time. God honored that for a certain time. That's why this is not an eternal covenant, it's an everlasting covenant. Because an eternal covenant goes forever. An everlasting covenant, it covered until Christ came, and even he was circumcised on the eighth day. That's why circumcision on the eighth day, there you put into the eighth day into eternity, all right? But Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. But when he went to Calvary, he circumcised his whole body. His whole body was given for us. His whole, and as Brother Dale said, now there was the Son of Man in human flesh, because the seal of circumcision came to a man in human flesh, the physical one. So there had to be a Son of Man come in human flesh to what? He circumcised what? The heart, but right here, not the heart, boom, 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 boom. The heart of you, the thinking part, everything. He circumcised now, and that's what Paul was trying to tell him. He said, you can be of uncircumcision and circumcision. I really don't care. It's the circumcision of the heart is what matters.
Right.
It's the heart circumcision. Ezekiel 36 verse 25 says, for I will take from you among the heathen and gather you out of the country. We were reading this a minute ago, but watch. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. That's sanctification. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit. Now, if that's God talking to us.
Right.
Oh, come on, folks. What a promise. That's God speaking to us. And he said, I'm not going to give you a spirit of fear. I'm not going to give you a spirit of a devil. I'm going to give you my spirit. And I can't, listen, as good as my daddy is, he can't put his spirit in me. His.
Right?
The best person in the world can't give you his spirit, but God can. God can, because he said I will. I'll put my spirit. Look how close that is. I'll put my spirit inside of you. And when I put my spirit inside of you, you're going to start acting like me. Because before, you did not act like God. And we have a hard time still doing it. But we have that rudder inside now that moves us. We got the boat. We got the water. You're justified and sanctified. But if you don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Satan's going to knock you around everywhere and you have no rudder to get you back in. But that rudder will turn you right where you need to go. Because the Comforter will come and lead you and guide you into all truth. And you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. Out in open water, really not so important to have a rudder. But when you get among the rocks, when you get close to the shore, you don't want to be blown into a shipwreck. You want to have a rudder that'll turn you and get you out of that situation that you get in, that we get ourselves in. You have that spiritual rudder that'll turn you, right? Same, all of us, that spiritual rudder say, no, that sounds good, looks good. No, that's a wreck. You go this way. Amen. I love that. And that's what he's doing, showing with Abraham. Abram, you don't got much of a rudder. You got Hagar. You got, I'm going to Egypt and I'm trying to do everything, God, you got me to do. I'm trying to do it. And God said, circumcision. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to make you walk different. And I'm even going to change your wife's name. I'm going to change your wife's name. And now you, Abraham, are going to be with you, Sarah,
right,
and you both are going to have a baby, which is the promise I promised you 25 years ago.
Amen.
To me, that's what God does at the new birth.
Yeah. Right.
The only reason I know I have the new birth today, you say the only reason, is that I have clarity of the word. You can put it, you can pile it on everything else. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't curse anymore, I don't do it. That was it, sanctification. That don't mean nothing for the new birth. But when God changed my name from sinner to saint, or old man to new man, there become clarity. You say, well, Brother Wade, you're a preacher. That doesn't matter. God is obligated to give you clarity of the word. Because he said, I'll lead you and guide you into some truth. I'll lead you and guide you into all. Why? Because the man that wrote it is inside you, agreeing with what he's already wrote. That's what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. You can't disagree with the word and be born again. Now, at sanctification, you can because you have no rudder. I think this is. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Oh, I know that's why he said that now. And even in life, when you go out in life, same thing. You got that spiritual rudder. And you know what? Like I said before, the boat's huge. The water's huge. A rudder's not but about this big, even on a big boat. But without that thing turning, man, we was on that cruise ship, 10 stories high, 2,500 people. And he showed us the stabilizers that went out on each side of the boat. They were about 10 feet long, each side. And they, by computer, when the boat would go one way, the rudder would. And I'm telling you, we never felt the boat move. Even when they parallel parked. Ryan, how'd you like to parallel park it? Chicken truck. But we get to Juneau, Alaska, and he comes right up between two boats, and he goes. Why? Because he had rudders. He had everything he needed to turn that big old huge boat with 2,500 people. The master controller, all he had to do is turn one little knob. Same way in Christianity. If we let go and let God, we've got the spiritual rudder. Let the guy, what did Brother Brown say? Wasn't a guy. It was a guy in the control tower that was doing the work. Same way with Abram. Abram now has a rudder or something that can guide him. So he goes, oh, me and Sarah.
Yeah.
But God, you still going to have to do something because I'm 99. She's 80 something. Ain't happening in this house. Right? But God says, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? You know, he didn't look at the circumstances. Let's turn over now to chapter 18. Finally, get to chapter 18. I'm not going to read the Everybody knows that when he gives you the Holy Spirit, he puts his spirit in. We talked about that. So we don't have to read all these quotes. All right, is everybody okay with that? Let's do read one. Oh, sorry. I messed up. Let's read number 7. I want to read that one. I brought it in. No, read quote number 7. I brought this in the other night, and I want to read it. Number 7. There you go. Israel in the church. Beautiful. God took Christ at Calvary, tore him apart, soul and body. He sent the body up to his right hand and sent the Holy Spirit back. The covenant with the people. And you believe by faith like Abraham did. Listen to this. He was given the seal of circumcision for a confirmation of his faith. For a confirmation of his faith. And you believe and accept Jesus as your Savior, then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a confirmation of your faith. Wow. You say you believe and haven't received the Holy Spirit? Something's wrong with your faith. God circumcises the heart the minute the believer really comes in full surrender. Amen? Say that, folks, surely must have done something. I felt that come back. Now, he felt that from somebody out in the audience saying, oh, wait a minute. This is too easy. Get it? When the believer, here it is now. He's fixing to, whoever that person was, he felt the Spirit kind of pop back on him. When the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's under obligation to give him the Holy Ghost. Confirmation of his faith.
Right.
Say, what's the matter, Brother Branham? Just your faith, that's all. If you surely believe, God's there to give it to you. Somebody was in that audience said, I don't believe that. You know, if I was a preacher, I'd be going, well, that's why you're not getting it, because you're not believing what I'm saying. What I'm doing. This is what God told us said to do, because Peter, while Peter spake these words, see, I bet it was, I say it was a Pentecostal saying you got to speak in tongues, you got to do this, you got to do that. And Brother Branham saying, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word.
Amen.
That's too simple for a Pentecostal that's reared under speaking tongues, X, Y, Z. That's who he was talking to. And they're back there going, no, you got to speak in tongues. He discerned that spirit. He said, no. And he quoted them scripture.
Amen.
While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Is that right? Acts 10:49. All right, notice the Holy Ghost in fire came from heaven, burned out all the dross, circumcised the heart, cut off all the surplus, and you became a new creature. What? You became Abraham. You weren't Abram anymore. Let's read number 8. Go ahead to number 8 there. Brothers, I forgot I put these in here. He said, oh, I thought I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. They still teach that, but it's wrong. Listen to this. Faith, all right. Faith is good. Faith got Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him by or for righteousness, but God give him the seal of circumcision as a seal of his faith. So he could, you know, it's what he's saying is just like what I'm saying. Sanctification, a lot of you Pentecostals, you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's hard to say because they say I spoke in tongues, I shouted, I did this, I did that, I did the other. That's when the unclean spirit went out. But it don't mean that God filled it with anything. It means they went back to their old denomination and they hung on that because remember Brother Branham, and I knew a Pentecostal. That he was a mean guy. And Brother Brown would say they'd be meaner than a buzzsaw. Why? They kept that temper and all that, but they spoke in tongues. Like the one that went with this girl and went off and committed adultery with her. Well, he's okay because he was speaking in tongues. And see, they held every bit of that on the, and that's what Brother Brown was having to deal with. And this was in 1950 something. But look, he will see it, but when you got, God give him the seal of circumcision as a seal of his faith. Brethren, when you get pure, genuine faith in God, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a seal of the promise, which is a seal that you have faith. Making you the faith seed of Abraham, right? You might make some kind of impression or make people believe, or you might say you got faith, but when you really got genuine, unadulterated faith, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a seal of the promise. That's not skim milk now, children.
Right.
That's not skim milk. That's God telling us what's going on. Let's go to Romans 4, verse 19. Let's read Scripture. Is that okay? We'll read the Scripture and then we'll close. We're not going to get to 18. I'll start 18 next week sometime. Well, we're going to really only have one service next Sunday, so we can cover it later. That's okay. Who against hope, look, Romans 4, verse 9. There you go. Cometh this blessedness upon them, the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Now, this is Paul talking to the Romans. Give me a little bit of your attention. That sleepy spirit, y'all must have went home and got them from your wives and brought them in here. Hello. Sorry, ladies. We didn't have it. Well, we got two extra people today that weren't here a couple weeks ago. Anyway. Okay, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? He's talking to Romans who were what? Totally uncircumcised. Okay, they were heathens. They weren't Christians. But Paul is telling them, it doesn't matter about what I can show you in my private. It's a circumcision of the heart now, because Christ died on the cross. That other was a temporary promise.
Right.
Yeah. Amen?
No.
To Calvary, just exactly like the blood of bulls and goats was a temporary sacrifice
right. Unto
Calvary. And then when Christ came and died, it took away any sacrifice. You had to make no animal sacrifices after Christ died on the cross. They'd done away with that.
Exactly.
Same way with circumcision. And they were standing there saying, we'd be Abraham's seed. Because why? They were circumcised.
Right.
And you know what? If I was Jesus, I'd have said, well, so am I. You know, so am I. What are you dealing with me for? So am I. I'm under this circumcision that you say.
Yeah.
But when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, see, that done away with every bit of that.
Yeah.
It was a circumcision then of the heart. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness.
Right.
How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And probably all the Jews around him said, well, when he got circumcised, he became it. God made the promise when old Abram was still a Gentile, uncircumcised. So God made the promise with you when you were an uncircumcised in the heart.
Right.
He made the promise because what he said, how was it reckoned then? Was it in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision. Because remember, circumcision was a sign of Abraham's faith
in
God.
Right?
Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised.
Right.
Even in your justification, folks, if it is a pure justification where you don't justify yourself, where God justifies you, it's God doing the work.
Right.
You're not. You're still contrary.
Yeah.
But it's God doing the work. But somewhere down in there, you've got a tie post. You've got something. Like I said before, that light that was circling around Abram. It was circling around you if you could look in another dimension. It was, well, even though you were doing the things you were doing,
that's it.
It was right there.
Right.
It was brooding, waiting on what? You to make a decision.
Yeah.
And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised.
Right.
That he might be the father of all them that believe.
Right.
That's all of us. Though they be not circumcised.
Right.
He's telling the Romans, don't worry, you ain't got to go be physically circumcised. Listen to what I'm saying. God will circumcise your heart if you'll have faith.
Right. Yeah.
That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed. Righteousness? Righteousness might be imputed or imparted unto us also, or them also.
Yeah.
And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. What faith? That faith that took him through that journey.
Right.
to meet Melchizedek in human flesh. That faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised.
Right.
For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law.
Right.
But through the righteousness of faith.
Amen. Yes.
The law didn't give you anything. The law condemned you. But faith gave you everything.
Right.
Let's go to Romans 4:18. We'll stop right here. We'll read this and then we'll be done. Get a song ready, Brother Louis. Still talking in Romans 4:18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. What? He believed the word. He didn't have a word written down, but you and I got it written down. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. Now look, if we read the whole commentary of Abram, you would think he wavered and staggered and went everywhere. He didn't have that rudder as we were talking about. And physically he did. In his walk, he gave his wife away and all these different things. Don't ever try that. But now, Paul, looking through Calvary, that eradicated everything there at Calvary, all right? But now look, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. He's not going to come up, we're not going to go through the white throne judgment, thank God.
Amen.
And I truly thank God. Because if not, we're going to have to stand before God and give a reckoning of what we staggered on. But we're not. Because remember, we're the sinless, perfect bride of Jesus Christ. That's our promise. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed or pardoned or reckoned to him for righteousness. Now it was written, look, here's what I want to stop and then we'll get into the Melchizedek later on. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. That's wonderful that all happened to Abram and that happened to Abraham and that all. And them over there, them Jews, they can say they're the father of Abraham because they're in circumcision and they're doing this and they're waiting on the Messiah and they're... You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They love Abraham over there, the Israel, the Jews do that are not converted. Because they say they're the children of Abraham, because that's what they told Jesus. They said, we're seed Abraham. What's your problem?
Right. Yeah.
But now here we are. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also.
Right.
To whom it shall be imputed if. If. We believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and who was raised again for our justification. When we look next Sunday at a resurrection, he raised for your justification. Because he's just and the justifier of all of us that believe in him. Let's stand to our feet. We'll get to Melchizedek. He's still going to be right there in chapter 18. He ain't going to leave. So we just got to get to chapter 18. But he's not going to leave chapter 18. He's going to be right there. But we must believe that being the children of Abraham, that if you got the new birth today, the old you is wiped out.
Yes.
Right? Zeroed out, Brother Brown says. You're zeroed out. And God can't hold nothing against us. You say, well, I've done this. I'm just telling you what God said. We have received the righteousness of God and we can't be judged if Christ has already been judged. And God can't be judged because he is the judge. But where's the judge today? The judge is inside of us. That's why Brother Brown said we can't lose. We got the judge, the jury, defense, the other attorney, it's all inside of us. And he's saying, not guilty. Not guilty. And you know the song, Guilty. I had nothing because we were guilty. But when Christ came and died for us, and then we accepted it, and he accepts our faith by giving us a new birth, then we're just as eternal as God is. We're just as God is. Not saying we'll not make mistakes, but we're going to have to realize as we continue on up this statue of a perfect man and heading to the headstone, that man was perfect. Even in his human flesh. He was perfect. Right? He was without sin. So guess what? The only difference in that man and us is we came by virgin birth. We came by sin, a product of sin, and he wasn't a product of sin. He didn't have a carnal mind. You and I have a carnal mind. That's what bothers us more than anything is this thing up here. Amen? So let's sing a song. God bless you. What page is that on?
61 in the spiral book.
61 in the spiral book.
Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved.
Listen to this.
Oh, in my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved.
Though the tempest rages.
Oh, though the tempest rages.
Why? You got that rudder. That thing will lead you in all truth.
I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved.
Sing a chorus.
Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water. Shall not be moved.
Amen. God bless you. All minds and hearts clear. Just remember, if we're going to do the service next Sunday, we'll start about 10 o'clock, not have any Sunday school. We'll have singing. And then Brother Dale will give us a good Easter message, standing in the back of a pickup truck maybe, or somewhere. Hey, let's get the Bobcat and we'll put him on a pallet and we'll get him on up a little bit higher. But anyway, we'll... We don't want him to fall off. We have to strap him in. Right. We won't be able to move. But let's just pray that that'll happen. And also pray that there's a 50% chance of rain in the extended forecast. Well, you know what? That means that 50%, that 50% becomes 100 if it's not raining. So only 50% of the place is going to be raining. The other 50 is going to be not raining. So we're just going to pray that it's not going to rain here. But we will be telling everyone online, and Brother Bob will be sending out the message of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But listen, truly, listen to me. We can't mess this up and start congregating. I know we want to, but you're going to have to not shake hands. You're going to have to stay 6 feet. Probably I'm going to suggest that you wear a face mask just in case. You say, well, where's your faith at, Abraham? I'm telling you, I don't want, because two churches in Georgia have had services and they've got the virus. One church in Madisonville, Kentucky, Brother Brad was telling me, they said, no, we're not going to worry about it. It's nothing. 22 people got the virus and one guy's already died. And the governor of Kentucky is using that church to try to get everybody else. I mean, he's using them for an example. We don't want to be an example of not doing. But if you'll wash your hands and put that face mask on and stay 6 feet apart, you can't get the virus. So, but we're just going to pray that, we're not going to get it at all. Nowhere to be seen. But we do want to have church service. I know everybody, I'm going to tell this on Brother Gary Krantz. I really thought, Brother Gary, when I called you the other day, I thought, well, he's going to go, you know, be as meek as Brother Gary Krantz. You know, he said, now, Brother Wade, if somebody else wants to come, that'll be okay. I no more got son Day. When I said Day, he said, I'll be there. Didn't you? He never hesitated, never said, oh, now, Brother Wade, it's okay if somebody else wants to come. I said, can you, you want to come to church Sunday? Yes, I'll be there. So that's the excitement. I love it. I mean, that's what we all should be. I know everybody's chomping at the bit trying to get through the screen to get to church because we're herd animals. We need to get together and we need to fellowship. So let's just pray that we can do that next Sunday, but let's don't mess it up. If you need to go to the bathroom one at a time, church will be open, but no social gathering afterwards, please. You're going to have to either drive by and wave and say God bless you and go on back to your home till this thing's over with. But you know what? The bride of Jesus Christ has a voice in this end time. We have a voice in this, and that's what I said before. Even though the world may be doing what they're doing, and they may, I'm going to say this in God's mind, they may deserve it. But them human people don't deserve it. Okay? This world is just a sinful world, and they sin everywhere. But you know what? We're in it. Just like Abram walked all through those, and you know what? When Abram was walking, I don't know if he said, now, I'm going to possess all this, but you know what God told him one time? He said, everywhere you put your feet. Exactly. Everywhere you put your feet. And then we come down and see that Brother Brown tells us in the end time that footprints means possession.
Right.
So the same, when Brother Bob walks in that office up there with 500 people, maybe raw heathens, there's God in that building.
Right.
Same way with you guys. There's God, that light. It's not right with Brother Bob. It's all around him.
Right.
All of you, any of you that work in an office or go to a sitting and, you know, all these different things, we're to be the light to this world because there is no light outside of Jesus Christ. There is no light outside of being a Christian. There is just total darkness. And we see it now, all the things that are happening out there, people are just absolutely, some people are literally going crazy because of this thing. You know why? Because they're scared. We don't need to be scared. But we don't need to be foolish either. But now, I hope, and I'm praying, I said this the other day, I said, God, speak to somebody. It doesn't matter. Speak to somebody. It doesn't matter if it's the janitor of the church. Speak to somebody and let them touch you. Or maybe I can't touch you. Let somebody touch you for these people. I'd love to go to that hospital and start touching the people and they just walk up and go home. And God knows my heart. I would love to do that. I would do it if he told me to do it. But remember, we sit still unless we have thus saith the Lord. If we have thus saith the Lord, I hope God gives us a thus saith the Lord and somebody goes in. That, you remember the story of John G. Lake back in the Spanish pandemic. They said they literally put the disease, the foamy disease out of somebody's lungs, put it in his hand, and he had such faith till they put it under a microscope and every one of the virus germs were dead. And he was renowned for going and praying for people in this big epidemic that killed millions of people back in 1918. So I just pray God. You say, what are you asking for? Listen, we got the power.
Right.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus to turn these demons away. So let's bind together. This is our time.
Right.
This is our time as a bride. It's our time. Exactly right. Not the government, not them. Quit fighting over all that stuff. My fight's right here.
Right.
I don't know about yours. I fight this old guy every day because he's out here on the outside having to live in this sinful world. Right. But there's an inside on the inside that groans, travailing.
Right.
As Romans 8 says, waiting for the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. That's me and you. That's not everybody in the world.
That's right. Amen.
So let's earnestly pray this week that those curves in them cities will start going down. And once they start going down, we might get back to a little bit of normalcy. And I'm going to absolutely pray that the devil don't let that thing go back up. Amen. I want this thing to be over with. There's too many people dying.
Yes.
Too many people. And dying alone. I pray for Brother Dick and Sister Gail. You can't go visit them. You can't see them. I pray God will keep him until we can see him again. And if not, that's okay, but I'd like to see Brother Dick again.
Amen.
Right. Brother Wilson Hembry, and I'm sorry I'm taking time, but I'm going to anyway. Brother Wilson Hembry sent me a text, and he was the song leader at Brother Wilson Hembry's church before he came up here.
Right.
And Brother Hembry said, I can just picture the young Sister Gail and young Brother Dick getting up and singing in front of the church. Now, I didn't know him when he was real young.
Right.
Some of y'all did, but, maybe if we ever see him again, that's how we'll see him. But I sure would like to see the old Brother Dick too.
Right.
And all him singing his songs and him and Sister Gail singing together and him sitting in the bench. We miss those people.
Amen.
Brother Tom and Brother Gary and all the different ones.
Right.
But Brother Dick's right now. So let's pray that if God's going to take him on, that's okay. He's lived a good life. But I'd like to see him again.
Right.
I'd like to be able to say God bless you one more time. On this side. And then if he goes on, you know what? He'll be one of them first ones that we know when they come walking through the walls. I didn't say through the doors. They come walking through the walls. We start having a service. We're not going to be real quiet then, I don't think.
Exactly.
But God bless you. May the Lord go with you. We'll finish singing this and you can be dismissed. I shall not be moved. You're dismissed. I shall not be moved just like a
tree
that's planted by the water.
I shall not be moved. If I trust him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never.
I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water.
I shall not be moved.